Inside on Business, the news hour is brought to you by Square One DSM, an initiative of the Greater Des Moines Partnership. Learn more at squareonedsm.com. And Iowa Softwater, clean, safe softwater for you and your family, iowasoftwater.com.
We're rolling through a Wednesday afternoon. Thanks so very much for being here. With us in studio, he is from Iowa State University. He is a senior lecturer there. His name is Pete Evans, and he is part of this whole invasion that we have starting tomorrow, the 2017 Fall Convention of the American Institute of Architects, the Iowa chapter. His name is Pete Evans. Welcome to the Business News Hour, Pete. Good to have you here.
Good to be here. Thank you, Michael.
So, all right. First question. I've heard that Iowa State University is just a powerhouse when it comes to architectural engineering.
No doubt.
All
no
right. Doubt. Let's talk up a little bit about that. What does that mean to a state like Iowa, a rural state, a land-grant college yet, who is perhaps better known for agricultural stuff than what it might be for things of the sciences in architecture? Can you talk about that a little bit?
I think it's important that Iowa has always had a strong legacy in architecture, and Iowa State University in particular. The department has been a national leader, landing, I think, in the top 10, top 15 consistently in design intelligence ranking. It's one of the metrics out there. And that's been really good, and we have national leaders that are coming out of Iowa and Iowa State University doing great work here in the state and around the country.
And when we talk about architecture, and you guys are going to be invading, as we said, about 1,000 folks here at the 2017 meeting. Welcome back to Des Moines, by the way.
Thank you.
You're in the area. You're in an interesting space in technology, and you wrote a piece about utilizing virtual reality in building buildings. Can you explain that?
Sure. It's one of the technologies in particular that's allowing us to understand the built environment, which is really important from the perspective of the design side. So before we get to the construction site, it allows us another tool to be able to communicate with the client, with the contractors, with the engineers, and move through the building in a very natural way, something that we would take for granted in the real world. And this gives you a way to see it in a very natural way and understand that project very closely to what it will be.
Some folks may have trouble understanding exactly what we're talking about, but this is a way in which computer-generated imagery is joined by the individual wearing a certain set of goggles, correct?
Yes.
That you can actually feel as though you're walking through a constructed building?
Sure. Yeah, that's absolutely one of the concepts. And you can take it from the idea of, say, Hollywood, where the computer graphics are so compelling that it feels and looks real on the movie screen. Mm. And we are to the point where you can put on a headset or you can walk through a cave. This is something that Iowa State has a corner on the international market as well, where the virtual reality puts you into that place and makes you feel like you're in another world that doesn't exist.
Fascinating. And so not only with utilizing virtual reality as you experience that through a set of goggles, but you can actually create with CGI, apparently, that effect or what this thing is going to look like.
Yes, and that's done in a number of ways. And we have firms here in the state that are already taking advantage of that. One way is to take a 3D scanner and start to scan the existing environment. And then you can take that back to the office, either with that 3D scan or with a 360-degree photo or movie. And you can keep studying that site that you'll be working on, but you're not there. So that's one way you can take advantage of that.
So that would cut down on travel time. It would cut down on development time. It would cut down on guesswork, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Interesting stuff. When we just had Joe in and Matt, we were talking about the conference. And one of the things I asked them about was 3D printing and how that might work as we look at architecture in general. Is that a science or is that a technology that can be assistive?
Yes. We have I look at it in two different ways. Mm-hmm. One is that virtual reality lies on what I'll describe as the digital prototyping side, where you're making things that don't exist. But then you can take those prototypes and use these tools like 3D printing or CNC mills, robots, and you can actually start to make those into the built environment or the designs around us in the real world.
This is fascinating to be able to conceptually, you know, for those of us who have been through large building projects or large construction projects, and we're used to seeing blueprints, and we're the consumer. We don't know exactly what all that stuff means. Contractors do, and the trades know what that means. But actually having a rendering so that we can better understand and see the exterior, the interior, and then actually take part in that must be exciting for consumers.
I think it would be very exciting for the consumer because of those technologies we have today. Not only can you look at a picture of what it will look like, right, that's very realistic, but you can now walk through it. And the same tools, and this is another project, but the 3D printing is something that kids are starting to use already. The kids are already starting to mess around with virtual reality. And a couple of firms, OPN and Shive Hattery, are both working with students that are already very qualified users of these technologies. So the generation that's starting to fill our shoes and come to these professions that we want in architecture and engineering already know these. They are part of that consumer group as well as all of the rest of us.
Yeah, we were talking about the 77 million millennials that are out there that grew up on cell phones and the internet and Google and all of these kinds of things that we oldsters had to learn, and they're utilizing it every day. They've never been without it. And what you're saying is the next generation are really involved in so many of these virtual reality technology opportunities that they're going to come in with a working knowledge already.
Absolutely.
Fascinating stuff.
There's a great program out in Waukee that's called APEX.
Yes.
And that's where the students at the high school level are already working in, apprenticing in either an architectural engineering environment. So the same ACE program that Joe might have been talking about. And these high school students are taking real projects and applying the virtual reality through this APEX program and showing these clients, the actual public, what their projects are going to work and look like.
Pete Evans, ladies and gentlemen, with Iowa State University. We're talking about the Iowa Association of Architects, who are having their meeting starting tomorrow here in the Des Moines Metro. You know, we've seen all kinds of natural disasters over the past couple of weeks, actually, with Houston and Florida and Puerto Rico, and it goes on and on, it seems like. How can technology help us design buildings that will be perhaps more structurally sound to meet the changing environment that we happen to be upon? Anyway?
That's a tough question. I think these real disasters make you think really hard about how we can improve this world around us. And I guess one of the newsworthy things I took note of from the Houston floods, that hurricane, was they were using a fleet of drones. And that's not exactly what we're talking about here, but I can tell you that in the next year or two, and this is already happening to a degree, that those same drones are going to be carrying 360-degree cameras, and you'll be able to look at that footage through virtual reality as well. So right now we're responding to these emergencies in different ways. We're learning to have a better understanding of that devastation and that condition really quickly.
Yeah.
From a academic perspective, I think we have the vision now that using virtual reality in that rapid response mode will be able to, land a certain group of people and that technology to get a really good footprint on what we can do most effectively and have the eyes there. So the eyes will be at that location, that emergency place, but we can start to take remote action that we can deliver there. I think using better means and methods here where we have that capacity.
Pete Evans, ladies and gentlemen, he is a senior lecturer at Iowa State University. We've been talking about virtual reality and architecture and 3D and opportunities for great learning. Are you presenting this week?
Oh no, I'm not. I'm not presenting. But you'll be there. And we do this every day with our students up at Iowa State too. So they're learning all of these skills, and we'll be bringing these to market. And a lot of these students are also at the conference as well. So we're very excited about all this happening.
Good stuff. Pete Evans, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for doing this. Appreciate it.
And thank you, Michael.
All right, we've got to back out of here because it's nigh on to 6 o'clock. Thanks so very much for joining us on this hour of the Business News Hour. We will be back tomorrow at 5 o'clock with more of the national, regional, and local business news stories, along with some interesting business interviews. For all of us associated with the Business News Hour, Tyler Hackenmiller is our producer. The voice of Insight on Business of the News Hour is Jimmy Olson. The liaison between us and the Des Moines Radio Group is Mary Sayer. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett, exclusively for the Business News Hour. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have a wonderful Wednesday evening. Till tomorrow at 5 o'clock, be safe, be well, be careful, most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.